Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements with black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we rise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
We're coming to you live from WRBG Radio. Today we got a special speaker for you. He's an up-and-coming artist. He's one of the new leaders and starting trends. Hold on one moment.
Hey, man, they ready for you, bro. Yeah, they ready? Everybody in there?
Attention, all soldiers, come gather formation. My African warriors to my thugs and gangsters. It's time to fight hard, cause our life is in danger. Stop practicing on each other and get the ones that's a gangster. It's time to link up and form one big army. Unite all of our numbers, get them people up off us. This whole thing designed to get you broke or you locked up. But we gon' tear it down because this world belongs to us. I say march, we say step, rip and come for the devil. You can see death in line, you got nine, what you saw. Yes, a queen, yes, a people, yes, a savior. What if you don't know your culture? Come and let me activate your heart.
Calculate the black dollar, keep the black dollar black. We were taught by master not to have each other back. Now we linking with each other, help each other stack stack. Black pride, one nation, strong and black. That's what's down. See that job that you seek, it ain't all that it seems. They tryna really let your black Wall Street dream. You gon' make it all happen like a king and a queen. But when you rep the culture, it ain't harder to see. We gon' march like Martin by the window like X. We gon' free our people by any means next. It's a lot that Queen Omega showed us that we're royalty. And garment sack the bread and bars are both to set us free. When I march, what the step ripping culture to them. What you see, pet the lies, you deny yourself. You the king, you the queen, you the people, you the rock. Tell them how to start a business, build a black economy. They bring guns, they bring dope, alcohol to the hood. They want you to sell dope, kill and rob for your food. But they ain't bring no jobs, so people dying for the food. It's Operation Nothing, we gon' operate on nothing. When I say march, you say step, rep and come to the dump. You can see past they lies, you got knowledge yourself. You's a king, you's a queen, to your people, you's a savior. If you don't know your culture, come and let me activate ya.
Rushing a fella, that's my bro, my family, bros in jail. When it comes to money, I did concentrate. Make I tell you straight, you are not my mate. If you be commission, I be head of state. But my people then go say, I know one buy, I know one die, I know one payment. I want enjoy, I want job life, I want buy motor, I want build house, I still want done up. Tell me, money come, what's it come? G-Wagon, all depend. Think I can, ride the whip, I know beat. Die for nothing, my nigga. What's it gon' be? G-Wagon, all different. The garden, ride with me. I know me, die for nothing. Unwa for now.
Thank you. that we are all as good as we are able to make ourselves once we are free. We want, therefore, to develop our own community and an African personality. Others may feel that they have evolved the very best way of life, but we are not bound, like slavish imitators, to accept it as our mold. We find the methods used by others are suitable to our social environment, we shall adopt or adapt them. If we find them unsuitable, we shall reject them. Fighters for African freedoms, I appeal to you in the sacred name of Mother Africa to leave this conference resolved to rededicate yourselves to the task of forming among the political parties in your respective countries a broad united front based upon one common fundamental aim and object, the speedy liberation of your territories. Don't let us also forget that colonialism and imperialism may come to us yet in a different guise, not necessarily from Europe. We must alert ourselves to be able to recognize this when it rears its head and prepare ourselves to fight against it. This mid-20th century is Africa's. This decade is the decade of African independence. Forward then to independence. To independence now. Tomorrow.
1884. After the colonizers had been running around our continent of Africa, they wondered how they were going to defeat these people. You see, you got to understand, before the Greek civilization, before the Roman Empire, there was Africa. The pyramids were built 2,500 years before the Greek civilization. Have you ever wondered why the Greek philosophers, the mathematicians, where were they sent for training, for education, for retraining? They were sent to Africa. Why were they sent to Africa? Because civilization as we know it began in Africa. Civilization was in Africa before they had it in Europe. You see, the history books choose to begin history from here going forward. What they don't tell you is that even the English language is based on the Yoruba language. Humanity, as we know it, began in Africa. Without the African, there would not be any other races. It's just a simple fact. So they came together and set out a plan. Prior to 1884, you got to remember, Africa was made up of powerful kingdoms. The countries that we know as African countries today did not exist. So if you're going to be doing your DNA testing, I urge you, don't settle for "I'm from Nigeria." Settle for "what is my kingdom." She said, "I'm a proud member of the Mono Mutapa kingdom." "Are you an Ashanti? Are you from the Benin kingdom?" That's who we were before the Berlin Conference. So why did they meet in 1884? At the invitation of the then Chancellor of Germany, Bismarck. Bismarck said, "Let's all come together. We, the colonizers." Because keep in mind, at that time, they were beginning to fight each other over how to distribute what they had looted from the Africans. So you see, the French would loot from the Africans, then the British would come and then loot from the French, while the French had looted from the Africans, and then the Belgians would come, they would loot from the British, while the British looted from the French, then the French looted from the Africans. They were getting ready to have a European war on the African soil. So Bismarck called his sidekick, the then King of Belgium, and said, let's meet in Berlin. Let's strategize on how we can effectively loot from the Africans in a unified way that does not lead us into a war. So they met in Berlin to strategize on how to see to it that Africa and her children are forever defeated and dominated. Make no mistake about that. I repeat, they met in Berlin from November of 1884 to February of 1885 to strategize on how to effectively see to it that Africa and her children are forever defeated and dominated. That was 135 years ago. Fast forward 2019, the strategy remains in place today. History tells us that they set across from big old map of Africa. They proceeded to chop Africa up into tiny little economies that we see today. Tiny economies that clearly cannot survive on their own. Tiny economies that, should they survive, like black people always do, they are easy to destabilize. And then after they chopped up these little countries, they often say, the divide...
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up!
Hip-hop, make your head bob, bounce to this socialist movement. My environment made me the nigga Republican, remember that. Most of the cats, you know, be hustling. My mama worked all her life and still struggling. I blame it on the government and say it on the radio. What? And if you don't already know, all these Uncle Tom ass kissing niggas got to go. Got to go, got to go, got to go.
Black power, black power, black power family, live here on New Black Panther Party Radio of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. You're live here tonight with the National Chief of Staff, your host, Brother Katib Sadiq. This is day 456, the New Black Panther Party Radio every night. Power, 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 black power, all in your ear. As we continue to electrify the masses night after night, calling here right now, 718-664-6398. Press the number 1 to go live here tonight on our regular Thursday night broadcast. Our loyal listeners, those listening all over the world, those listening here in the hills of America, you know that every night, every Thursday night, excuse me, we come with a Pan-African business report. Tonight we will discuss the current event and look at the economic stability and how to develop economic stability in the diaspora. We'll join tonight by our Thursday night special guest co-host, Brother Eugene Taufer, the brother, our great brother, comrade, Pan-Africanist, coming out of the New African Network. It's a joint broadcast with the brother on ETC Logistics, representing his own African genius. We will discuss tonight and look at the African Stock Exchange. We will hear from our brothers the current event of what is going on the continent and in the diaspora. And as time permits, we will go deeper. We will look at the economic stranglehold that Dr. Eric Kana and our great ancestor Kwame Nkrumah talked about in the introduction, that is still the colonial foot that is on the neck of our brothers and sisters on the continent and here, and see what it is that we need to be doing. See how reparations fits into all of this. This will be a powerful broadcast. We are interrupting your daily bullshit right here on New Black Panther Party Radio. Visit our national website, www.nbpp.org. Join the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. It's time to get on the front line and build on this Pan-African infrastructure. Let us be a part of the rise of the African Industrial Revolution and a part of the rise of the African Infrastructural Revolution as it is right up under our noses. It's time to get on the front line with those who provide the programs locally, right, to deal with the downtrodden condition and the oppressive, repressive conditions of our people here in America, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. It's time that we understand that we must take a militant, black nationalist, pan-African stance against the oppression, the ethnic cleansing, and genocide in this nation. Join the New Black Panther Party today. We send a shout out to the New Black Panther Party National Central Committee, all of our comrades. Black Power salute, our introduction. We want to open up the floor for our special guest co-host, Brother Eugene Taufer, ETC Logistics, New African Network. Black Power, brother.
Ah, Black Power, Brother Cassius Sadiq. Hey, man, good evening to you, brother, and welcome to all of our brothers and sisters who have been tuning in to tonight this Thursday night business broadcast. Of course, you know it's being sponsored by the New Black Panther Party and the New African Network. We also have a whole slew of sponsors that reach out and contribute to our Thursday night business broadcast, and we'll give them a shout out a little bit later in the broadcast. But yeah, it's Thursday, June 3rd, and this is the New Black Panther Party day 456, man. Hey, that's a long time into since we started this thing during the course of the pandemic, hey, but we're strong brothers and sisters, and we continue to push on because, hey, man, we're being blessed by the Most High. That's what's up. Word up. And, yeah, peace and blessings go out to all of our brothers and sisters out there grinding in the grassroots network. And, you know, it's been some very challenging moments for us all, but we continue to push our grind out, and we also want to give a big shout-out to our brothers and sisters who tune in each and every week every Thursday to listen to the Thursday night business broadcast. And like Brother Cassius Adik say, I am your co-host, Brother Eugene Talford, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. And I definitely want to keep our brothers and sisters updated on what's happening both here in the nation, Babylon, of America, and also getting us connected and what's taking place there on the mother continent of Africa. But it's not just about us here in the United States. It's about African people all over the world, and that's what we do the best. We are here to get us connected so that we can look for definitely a brighter future. That's what's up, Brother Sadiq. So, hey, man, so how's your week been going so far?
Oh, man, everything's been everything. You know, we come off the heels of the great demonstration that took place in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and this ties into our broadcast because we have to look at the reasons why, right? We have to look at the fact that the pig continues to murder our brothers and sisters. The new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense was on the ground in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to stand in demonstration against the wicked homicide and genocide and the acts and crimes against humanity that happened on May 10, 2019 to our brother Ronald Green. As the pig lied and said that our brother got into a fatal car crash, we knew that it wasn't true when the pictures came out and when we seen the evidence of the car and when we heard the cries of justice and cover up from the family. But it is not until this year that the footage has come out and we can see the slow, methodical, calculated, vicious, brutal murder that took place that night. That is a crime of genocide and ethnic cleansing. Now, how does that relate to what we're talking about? Well, we have to look at it. A part of establishing stability, whether it be economic or in any other way, we have to defend what we are establishing. We have to defend our platform, and our platform is the people. So when we're seeing this escalation, or as we're seeing this escalation of ethnic cleansing and genocide, we have to use the economic stability that we begin to create to further fund, yes, our defensive measures, of course, so that we have a nation that is not so easily trampled on by this wicked, oppressive nation. So, you know, then we go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where, you know, we go there to memorialize and to commemorate those who have been, who were slaughtered during the Black Wall Street Massacre, which is one of hundreds of massacres in this nation, where America went and a white man went into different economic sections of this country. And this is coming after the so-called, you know, saying that chattel slavery is illegal, right? After the abolishment, so-called, of chattel slavery. This is coming as black people in America are beginning to, you know, have some type of economic foothold. And it is the wicked nature of this white man was proven through the history of this nation as they went again to every economic center. They ran roads through it. They brought tanks through it. They dropped firebombs the same as they did in Tulsa. They did in Harlem. They did in places in California. They did in Georgia. They did it all over the United States. So we have to look at this. As we talk about defense and as we talk about economics, let history, you know, let what we demonstrated this weekend be an example of, and let history tell the story. We can no longer trust this government. We can no longer trust these people. We're dealing with savages. It is not jealousy, and it is not misconduct at the hands of the state. It is purposeful. So we must build our own, Brother Eugene.
That's what's up, brother. You know, I know you guys over the past week and went out to Oklahoma to kind of fellowship with our brothers and sisters out there and their loved ones who have passed on. And, yeah, you know, we speak about the Black Wall Street, a massacre that took place in the Greenwood community of Oklahoma. And, yeah, many lost their lives as well as their fortunes. As you all know, Oklahoma was a primary place to travel to back in the early days, and it was a very oil-wealthy country, oil-wealthy state, where a lot of the folks who were migrating from a lot of the things that were taking place here on the East Coast and especially in the South during the time of Jim Crow and Reconstruction period. Many went out to seek fortune and opportunity. And, yeah, there was a lot of black people who went out in the 1920s to go out and get their piece of the pie and were very successful. A lot of them were engineers of oil fields. And some of them also had land in which they had oil rights on to actually mine and dig for oil. And so, yeah, our people were doing very well. But that was only a part of many communities here in the United States that existed during the time of Reconstruction and during the turn of the American Industrial Revolution of the 1900s. There were many Wall Streets all over the United States. And a lot of them were kind of crushed because of the economic prosperity that our ancestors, our grandparents, our great-grandparents were achieving. They were achieving success in a hostile environment. And a lot of their assets and wealth of land ownership to their businesses were virtually destroyed. And this is something that was taking place all over the nation. So when we talk about reparations, yeah, African Americans, we deserve much more. It's more to it than just the monetary, but, you know, we're getting there, and we are a new breed leader generation that is taking pride in making sure that our ancestors are compensated as well as receiving the necessary justice in our day and time. So black power and a big up. So, yeah, let's get into a little bit of tonight's dialogue about the nightly business report. And, yeah, so a little information about those of you who are in business, the Minority Business Development Agency, which is a branch being fostered through the U.S. Department of Commerce, has just announced that it is going to be accepting proposals through the Minority Business Enterprise Equity Multiplier Project, which gives you an opportunity to receive funds. And so I definitely advise many of you who are in business who want to participate in the program to see how is it that you can get funding for your business or organization. You go through www.mbda.gov. That's Mary Boy Dog Alpha at GOV. And that's the Minority Business Development Agency through the U.S. Department of Commerce. You can also go through the Department of Commerce website and access the information there. All of the applications, they're going to have a
Black Power Brother.
Yeah.
Black
go
Power
ahead,
Brother. I want to jump in right here. And, you know, just for the sake of political education, Brother Eugene is giving us tools that we can use. You know what I'm saying? All of these tools have been used time and time again. We trust the brother's insight. But we want to be clear for political education. You know, they may call themselves the Minority Business Development, but they know damn minorities. You know, the African, you know, and Brother Eugene will affirm and agree with us. The African outnumbers this white man on this planet 13, 14, 15, 16 to 1, to quadruple, double, triple, all the times that you can imagine is mathematically possible. Their birth rates are dropping due to them being a natural mutation of a natural specimen, and this is the nature. So them having this name, again, is showing us the nature of this government. But again, these are tools that can be used, but just for clarity for political education, because that's what we are all about it in when it's all said and done, too. And I know you would agree, Brother Black Power.
Yeah, that's what's up, Black Power, Brother Cassius. That's what we do. We definitely want to inform our brothers and sisters how they can tap in to get their economics up. As we know, there's a huge gap between black economics in this country. And if there are programs or some type of information that's coming out that we can relate to our brothers and sisters that will be beneficial to helping you broaden your horizons in the business world or whatever sector you may be in, definitely this is what this information is available for. So, you know, to get back to the Minority Business Development Agency, they will be accepting proposals. They will have a preliminary application conference on June 4th. And I think the actual deadline to have your application is submitted to the company, well, to the agency is on June 30th. So you have more than enough time. And I think that conference is going to be held at 2 p.m. on June 4th. Like I say, tap into the mbda.gov website, and you'll learn a little bit more information about what's happening. Also, today the announcement from the Jacksonville Ports Authority that they will be hosting their next port conference, which is a big major port conference, and a lot of people don't know it, but it's a predominantly black city. Jacksonville, Florida will be hosting the conference, and that will be coming up next May 2022, and so we look forward to that. Also, a little information about those of you brothers and sisters who are going to be shipping goods and products to the Caribbean, Central South America, and also to Africa. The fuel surcharge for many of the steamship companies, and one that is highly utilized is the Sealand Maersk steamship company, and they ship a lot of containers over to the mother continent. So look forward to seeing a slight increase on the fuel surcharge fee that you may see on your bill of lading as you're getting your pricing together to ship your goods, products, or as well as some of your service things over the mother continent, and as well as throughout the African diaspora. Right now, the IFC, which is the inland fuel surcharge, it was about $30, is increased to $40 now. So you'll probably see that increase in the fuel surcharge on any bill of lading that you may see when it comes to both continental and international shipping. And this is a fuel surcharge. It is based on the current index for diesel fuel prices in and around the country. And this is based on the epidemic, the actual crash of the system that took place a few weeks ago here in the United States, a shortage of fuel. Also, we want to give a big shout out to one of our leading real estate sisters. Many of you know her as Sister Donna Jones, and she is the CEO of Keys Bahamas. And Sister Donna told me to give our brothers and sisters here in the States a big shout out. And if you're interested in any of the real estate opportunities in the Bahamas, which is an Afro nation, she had very good deals right now on property that she's selling, both real estate for commercial as residential, and she also have many vacation rentals. You can reach Sister Donna Jones at area code, international code. You can just dial 1 here in the States, 242-727-9475. And, you know, I've actually been in communications with Sister Donna, and it's a family-owned, black-owned real estate company in the Bahamas. They have a lot of real estate from affordable all the way up to luxury accommodations, and this is definitely a sister to be in touch with if you're trying to go over and to do a vacation. So a big up to Sister Donna Jones. Also, a little word about what's happening in the African diaspora. There's a company by the name of the Diaspora Africans, and they have been setting up and scheduling trips to the mother continent of Africa. And this gentleman specifically have been working to get brothers and sisters acclimated with what's happening in Nigeria, Togo, Ghana region, and is going to be sponsoring an upcoming trip. So all of you who may be interested and going there for cultural or investment purposes. They also have relocating assistance and services that they offer. Many brothers and sisters are now looking at the auspice of taking advantage of the African Industrial Revolution and are actually starting to move there. Many brothers and sisters have been moving to Ghana, Sierra Leone. We're looking at Senegal and also Nigeria. So, yeah, you know, we give a big up to our young brothers and sisters who are branching out and taking advantage of some of the other business opportunities, as well as just going there to be a part of what's taking place on the mother continent. So that's what's up, man. You know, we got a lot of things that's been happening over the last few weeks here. Very exciting times with the African stock market. The nightly report here, ranging from starting from March 5th through January 3rd of today, the Ghanaian exchange has done very well on the index. They opened at 2,541.9, and they were up by 3.12%, which gave them a huge increase on the exchange of shares. Many of the companies that are into agriculture as well as technology-based enterprise, the manufacturing sector is doing very well in Ghana. So, yeah, I'll give a big up to you guys and keep up the good work over there, our brothers and sisters in Ghana, which are doing some very extraordinary things. Next up, the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. It closed at 67,791.38. and down by 1.82%, which was a mild decrease. But the economy in South Africa has been fluctuating up and down. But this would be a great investment opportunity time for any of our brothers and sisters who would like to go there and invest in real estate, as well as buy up some of that agricultural land that's over there in Cape Town, South Africa. Hey, Brother Cassius, I don't know if you've ever been to South Africa, but that Cape Town is a beautiful place. And, you know, they've been experiencing an economic downturn at the point, but this would be great opportunity for our brothers and sisters here in the African, in the diaspora, who will want to go there and get connected up with our brothers and sisters there in South Africa. The South African Freedom Fighters have been working to bridge the gap with the Pan-African movement. And Brother Julius Malema, he's always been a very outspoken person about bridging our economics, you know, Africans uniting up to buy back the block. You know, that's what it's all about, you know, buy back the land that was taken away from us and our ancestors. And as we unite as one, we unite economically, we begin to achieve our goals of creating wealth and stabilizing our communities. So we'll get into a little bit more of that later on in the conversation with Brother Cassius Sadiq. Also, Sister Crystal Muhammad, big shout out to you, sister. You've been doing some powerful things, and so we give you always a big salute. Next up we have is Nairobi Security Exchange. They closed at 170.94, and which had a closing. They were down by 0.15%. A lot of that negative activity come from much of the stuff that is taking place with the COVID epidemic. But hopefully, you know, the economy there in Nairobi, Kenya will be getting stabilized and getting back on track. But there's a big opportunity for us to get involved and get engaged with what's happening there in Kenya, brothers and sisters in the diaspora. Kenya is a highly developed country and has a very high-tech arena. So a big shout out to those of you who are in the high tech sector, engineering sector. Good opportunity to go there for jobs, to live, work, and play. So definitely keep Kenya on your place to travel to. Next up, we have Nigeria Stock Exchange. They closed at 38,548.211, and they were up by 0.17%. And Nigeria has been doing some good things, and with the increase of their shares and closed almost at $66 a share on the actual index market. We also have Zimbabwe Stock Exchange closing at 5,540.74, and they were up by 1.32%, and it was a big increase for them over the last few weeks. And a lot of that come from their high-tech sector, mining sector, where they had extraordinary advances on the mining sector. So that was about a 72.18 increase as far as the index is concerned. Okay, so we'll take a little break, and if anybody want to chime in, we'll get into a little bit more dialogue. So Brother Cassius, I'll hand the mic over to you for a brief second, and then I'll go back and finish up with the tonight's business report.
Black Power, Brother Eugene. Absolutely. You know, the basis of what we're discussing tonight, you know, in its essence, we're talking about economics. I don't even think that we could begin, and we would be remiss not to even, you know, look at what was mentioned in our introduction tonight by one, you know, one of our greatest ancestors, Brother Kwame Nkrumah, who goes and liberates Ghana in the 1950s, right? And then we know the great, Brother Eugene, we know the great history of Accra and its holding of these people's Pan-African conferences for years now, you know, for decades mm-hmm. now. You know, and when we look at economic stability, I mean, this is, you know, one of the number one things that, you know, the great ancestor talked about. And also we heard Dr. Eric Conner mention some things as well. So just for, you know, the sake of the bill, you know, I do want to highlight these things. I think this is key. I think this is important, and it's right along the line of what our great brother, Brother Eugene, is discussing and what we're bringing to the table. And, of course, we want to hear from everybody. Press the number one. You know, we invite you to participate here tonight. But you mentioned Kenya, Brother Eugene, and Kenya has a very interesting history. When we talk about, you know, in every African nation, we talk about, you know, pre-colonial Africa. A lot of these borders, mm-hmm. if not all, most of these borders that we see are not natural borders that were created by us. In fact, we had no say. You know, we were not invited to the Berlin Conference and things like this. There is was and still is today an assault on Africa. It starts physically. It starts with the wicked planning of these European nations. Then they physically go into them and raid them and economically exploit them first through the rifle and the Bibles, right? Then they once they have the people under colonial rule, they groom the people to bring neocolonialism. This is what we have seen, and it still exists today. So, in fact, you know, many times we have to understand this with a political intelligence. A nation like Kenya, who now is being confined into these borders. There is a brother who wrote a book called Colonialism and Its Legacies in Kenya. And you mentioned it, so I think we should just highlight Kenya for a second. The brother's name is Peter Owendeji, and he wrote this book, mm-hmm. right? And he talks about colonialism in Kenya. And he talks about how it's developed, and all colonialism is developed from imperialism. I mean, this is the foreground of economic exploitation, right? How this could be referred to as the highest stage of capitalism. Capitalism, imperialism, and colonialism share the same definition. It is political and cultural domination and economic exploitation. At a particular point in time, it becomes necessary then for all three of these processes to exist together. Then he goes on to talk about the Berlin Conference. But what we see, you know, is in Kenya, and it's just an example of what has happened to us. It is an example of what has happened all over the continent in this world. Every time this damn devil gets a hold of the people, and again, it is economic exploitation today, right? But it starts as a brutal, savage military occupation. The end game is economic exploitation. They are always thinking of how they can take the resources out of the land. But nobody is thinking but the Pan-Africanists. Nobody is thinking but those who are suffering in these lands and those of our elders and those who are wise. And we know that what we face today is based on these highlighted things, contextual things in history. When we look at the dividing of single communities in each of these African nations, what did that do to us? As we fought for colonial resources, then we do it today. And colonial resource just means the crumbs off the damn table. What they deem is surplus are not necessary for them to continue their world domination, so-called, right? But the brother in mm-hmm. his book, his name is Peter Owendeji, and he talks about, it's called Colonialism in Kenya, Imperialism and Colonialism in Kenya. And he talks about the dividing of these single communities. And he talks about the Masai people and the Kuria between Kenya and between later Tanzania. He talks about how the Somali among the Kenya, the Somalian Ethiopia, and how other tribes were also put amongst the Kenya. How Uganda and Tanzania and the Teso and the Samia between Kenya and Uganda. He says the fact that the administrative and ethnic boundaries were nurtured negative ethnicity as different communities, we began to compete for colonial resources. This is where we see the brutality of the colonial devil really rear its head. When you look at King Leopold, right? We're talking about economic exploitation for the rubber. Not just for the hell of it, because he's full of hell. That's natural. For the rubber would cut the hands of our ancestors off. We're not going to paint no pretty picture. This is how we get to this point. This is why it's so necessary for us to take these tools. We're talking about the economic exploitation, and then now the necessity that we rebuild, we must look at what has got us to this position so it ain't going to happen again. So we're very clear. Mm-hmm. And as Kwame Nkrumah mentioned as we open up this broadcast, what did he say? That was in the 1950s. He said that they will come and they will not just be the Europeans. They have now come as the Chinese. They have now come as the Japanese. They have now come as the Cambodian or these or that people. Why? The Koreans. Why? Because they now are in the business of economic exploitation of the poor oppressed African masses. And although we don't owe the world anything, everybody owes us something. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You see, it's reparations. And they all know this. So they're through their economic exploitation. This is why it's so important that we have that we develop economic stability in the diaspora, because, see, it's only we fight and go to war and they're able to finance this prison industrial complex and all of their wicked international wars because of our poverty. It is the poverty that they use against us. So when we have that economic stability, then we're able to build our own. We no longer have to deal with these people. And in that process, we're able to fund a military, a defensive force to deal with the physical oppression, you know. So to highlight these contextual things in history is very important. We have to take that. We have to take the projects, the resources, the different current events that Brother Eugene is laying out. We have to be looking at the African Stock Exchange. It's funny to me, Brother Eugene, that she's talking about how the African Stock Exchange is booming. Look at America. Tumbling, falling to the ground. You see? Why? Why don't we break free from this, right? We have African nations who is raking up the GDP, you know, raking up the opportunities, right? If we don't act on this now, then it shows we're not wise to history, that we are willing to allow for these people to continue to economically exploit us. So I'll say that, right, to add to the bill. But I want your commentary on that. But I do want to go back to the real estate that you talked about. And you mentioned for vacation and things. What are the benefits to real estate when it comes to, you know, the real estate market? How is that in Africa? How, you know, what are the opportunities that are available? Because I think, you know, not only people looking to, as you, you know, talked about shipping and things of that nature, we also need to be looking at to not only buying the land, but also real estate and also, you know, bringing people and being able to house these people and people that we bring, us and those that are already there, right? So go ahead, Brother Eugene. That's my question.
Yeah, word up, brother. Yeah, so I'll begin with the first question, you know, about the exploitation side of it. Yeah, so, you know, as much of that had went on in the past, but, you know, we often speak about, hey, we are the new breed leader generation, and much of the things that took place in the past won't be happening on our record of record. And so we are here to level up our folks. We have much love and respect for our brothers and sisters out there who have gotten themselves educated enough to where we can begin to compete on an international level, both politically and economically. And so that's what we are striving for today, is to correct some of the wrongs that have taken place with our people in the past. Much of the things that took place with our people was at not something that they could control in their day and time based on how the laws and much of the institutions were set up for that time period. They did not understand the dynamics of a lot of the things that were put into place that kept them deprived, kept them from moving up the ladder. But our people were resilient, and despite many of the oppositions that they faced, they were resilient and still were able to build in times of chaos. And so, yeah, we give our ancestors a big up for that. And that's where we get it from. That's where we get the strength and the residual personality that we have to be able to endure some of the things that we come up against that sometimes not always expected, but we are moving in the right direction. And so we're taking our Western education and molding out a new African destiny. And so that's what we are here to definitely relay to our people. Yeah, so, you know, speaking of the exploitation side, Brother Cassius Sadiq, you know, you just talked about how the colonizers and those who run Babylon have, you know, pretty much gone throughout the world and raped many tribal nations from their resources and things that they needed to survive. And one of those countries is Zimbabwe. And, of course, just over recent analysis showed that over 70% of Zimbabwe's gold is being stolen from them annually. And if you look at some of the conditions that people are in, you'd be like, yo, where is the money going? But yeah, nonetheless, you know, we're being getting together the African Union, and many of the African Pan-Africanists are getting together to see how they can come up with some strategies to keep the resources on the continent of Africa, and to making sure that we get laws and bylaws in place for those industries that have the most impact on the economy in the Africa or on the African continent. So yeah, big shout out for that. But yeah, we're moving in the right direction. As I mentioned, you know, the stock exchange has continued to increase since the jumpstart and the removal of many of the barriers that have been put into place during pre-colonial times, where the colonizers went there, divided up Africa, as you mentioned, through the Berlin Conference. Much of those rules and regulations had been put into place to keep them from actually doing business with one another. You know, many tribes, they didn't have a divide in the land. You know, they had certain territory and empire territories that our ancestors ran as a governed and orchestrated civilization. And so when the Europeans, like so Dr. Erikana said in her documentary, in her discussion, that many of the nations were divided up by the Berlin Conference to keep the Europeans from fighting amongst each other for our African resources. So the goal today in the 21st century, African men and women, we are uniting as one. We have a very tremendous economic opportunity to take advantage of as a part of the jumpstart of the African Industrial Revolution. Many of our brothers and sisters who are educated can now go to Africa, take advantage of some of the land purchase opportunities, as well as the dual citizenship that we've often talked about. You can purchase as little as 2 to 3 hectares for as little as $2,000. And we definitely have some brothers and sisters who have been in Ghana since 2019 and are leveling up at unbelievable things that they've been doing to get their economics in the continent, on the continent, up and running. Businesses that they created, from agriculture to tourism to all sorts of high-tech ventures that they've been doing there, from the west coast of Morocco all the way down to South Africa. Our brothers and sisters have been getting engaged, and that's been a big plus for all of us. And so we see, you talk about Kenya, the colonial, neo-colonial aspects of what has been taking place there in Kenya with their economics. But recently, Kenya, Ethiopia, as well as Uganda, announced this major highway and rail project. Over $100 million will be put towards this project, and we definitely want to get our brothers and sisters out there who are engaged, who have an engineering background in both construction and civil engineering, to go over and bid and take advantage of some of these contracts, because that's a major highway from Kenya all the way down to Ethiopia. This is a mass highway project, similar to the Autobahn, which you may see in Europe, but definitely some good opportunity for us to get engaged with there. Also, Burundi, you know, they've been having some very catastrophic and very heartfelt problems that they've been having with their economics there. And so if any brothers and sisters out there that can help out with our brothers and sisters in Burundi, inflation is skyrocketing and is out of control, and they have a shortage of food. Little things that you can get engaged with to increasing your income opportunity would be providing sugar beer as well as cooking oil. If you have a business, a grocery store, or some type of wholesale business that you'd like to get engaged with, hey, look us up, man, the New African Network. You can always go to the New Black Panther Party. We're not just about guns and roses, you know. We're about leveling up our people, getting them engaged in both economics as well as politics, as well as social, developing social characteristics amongst our people. And, you know, it's not all about going out doing investigation on people who have experienced some atrocities in some form of fashion, but we are grassroots organizations that have boots on the ground that are there for our communities to help our communities level up. So big up to all of our grassroots organizations. And Brother Sadiq, I'll pass the mic back to you, brother.
Black power, Brother Eugene. Black power, man. I think that is great, and it's inspiring and liberating to hear all of the, you know, the great work that is going on the continent, you know, to hear about Kenya building this roadway and all of the things that we hear every Thursday night. And if we pay attention, you know, that we hear all the time. You know, I think at this time, you know, it's so important for us to understand these things, because we have to understand the opportunities that exist outside of this nation. There on no level can we continue to deal like this here in these conditions. Yes, you know, we must liberate ourselves on every you know, corner of the globe. For us, for the majority of the listeners tonight, it starts right here in this wicked nation. That's where it starts, right? It starts with the development of a knowledge of self. First, we got to learn that African value, you know, who we are, where we come from, what is backing this mighty energy that we're experiencing today, you know, what is backing this mighty energy that puts so much fear in us, and that puts a strong, hard line of contradiction between the people and the state. What is this mighty energy? This mighty energy is coming from the legacy of great African liberators, great African freedom fighters, great African geniuses, engineers, infrastructuralists, Pan-Africanists, who, you know, who founded these ideas. You see, you know, what Brother Eugene is presenting, you know, it's not only powerful, brother, but it is liberating, and it is moving us toward our liberation, moving us into what Kwame Nkrumah talked about, a United States of Africa. We are a nation too, black people here in this nation. I want to take a time to look at all of the support that comes to this broadcast from all of the nations in Africa. We have listeners in Morocco. We want to send you a Black Power salute. Y'all, we always talk about black folks here. No, we don't. We global. It was in 2016 that our new Black Panther Party national chairwoman, our new Black Panther Party national field marshal, Brother Sharif Amenhotep, went to Africa, into South Africa, there at the Pan-African Conference, presenting a bill presenting and laying out, you know, what is this struggle, this mighty energy, the cries for justice and demands for reparations that are coming out of the hells of these states. We send a shout out to all of our listeners in Algeria, Black Power Salute, Libya, Egypt, the Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya. We talk about Kenya, right? We talk about Kenya. Now, look at the economic prosperity that is coming forth to Kenya, right? Kenya has a magnificent history. It really does, right? The Kenyan people, the Kenyan revolution, right? The Mau Mau. Y'all know the Mau Mau, right? That brought us Uhuru. That brought us many tactics of guerrilla warfare. It is Kwame Nkrumah, the liberator of Ghana, who talks about what happens when you have a liberation movement, a liberation movement that is powered by the economic development of the people like we're seeing in Kenya and all over Africa, as reported by Brother Eugene, Black Power Brother. You know, the African Industrial Revolution that we see sprouting out, this is a part of liberation. Those that stand up in defense of a nation, armed and ready to defend that nation's sovereignty and defend that nation's ideology, defend that nation's culture and its land and resources. That is the liberation movement. It is all of this. But what happens when that liberation movement is firmly established? We can see all over history. What happens is that that oppressive nation has a physical military occupation there in Kenya or anywhere else. Rather, they do not have a physical military occupation. They still have an economic stranglehold. It is our duty now through our shipping, our working, our businesses over onto the continent, our buying of the land and producing real estate and programs for social infrastructural development that we rip those white fingers off the necks of our African nations. We tell everybody, talk black to us, press the number one. If you feel how we feel, black power to our listeners in Tanzania. Black power to all of our listeners in Botswana, in Azania, South Africa, in Zambia. We have listeners again in Nigeria. We have listeners all over Africa and Ghana and on the Ivory Coast and all over Africa and all over the world, because the world knows what is happening to us. But we are the ones who have to keep the narrative straight. We got to tell the truth. That's why we appreciate you, Brother Eugene, when you come on and lay it out on all of those things that are necessary for us to know about what is going on in Africa. Now, we have talked about shipping. We have talked about insurance for that shipping. We have talked about the logistics of the shipping. We've talked about exporting not just your business, but your body, your mind, your genius to the continent and using it here, right, to build what is necessary for us to have what? Economic stability in the diaspora, right? We talking now and moving into real estate, right? But now let's look at, you know, reparation, right? What that means, right? We talk about it here in AmeriClan, but it is the same as it applies to our brothers and sisters in Africa, our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean. We don't believe in it being no separate deal, right? Because we've all experienced the same hell from the same hell maker, same hell raiser, right? You know, What are some things, and I know that Dr. Arikana talks about a lot of things going on in ADDI. What are some things based on reparations that we can look to on the continent, and maybe some things that people can get involved in, some organizations, whatever you have, brother, and we'll build off that. Everybody listening to this broadcast, press the number one. This is day 456. Power, 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 all up in your ear every night on New Black Panther Party Radio. Call in right now, 718-664-6398. We're joined here by Brother Eugene Talford, our special guest, co-host of ETC Logistics and the New African Network. Black power, brother.
Black power, Brother Sadiq. Yeah, you know, black economics is black power, so that's what we're here to do, is to level up our well-being and the social aspects of developing African civilization. We're going to make sure that our children and their children's future, their future generations, are going to be secured in the long run. And yeah, you know, we talk about much of the things that have been taking place on the mother continent as far as how they have been taking advantage of the African Industrial Revolution and the ingenious aspects of young brothers and sisters linking up through multimedia networks. And that's been positive for us all these days, because it's helped us grow sociably as well as getting a new economic opportunity to get in on the ground floor of some of the ingenious aspects of business and what's taking place there on the continent. You know, just recently they had the ECOWAS Currency Conference. One of our broadcasts that we had in the very near past, we discussed a little bit about the new ECO currency that many of the West African nations are trying to put into place, the guidelines and the procedures to have a currency that they can control of their own. And it's represented by 15 member states in West Africa that will be taking advantage of taking back control of their resources and allowing the ECOWAS to be a structured transformation of the economy, being able to no longer depend on Western controlling their currency or the resources. And that's a big up to our brothers and sisters who are on those boards who are looking at the future of Africa. Ethiopia itself is also getting prepared for elections coming up on June 21st. And yeah, you know, the current president, Amiya Abid, he has been seeking a second term, and it's very challenging right now because he's been dealing with some political strife. Of course, you know, they had a scrimmage in the north in the Tigray region where they had some ethnic violence that took place. And of course, too, Ethiopia has also been spilling some backlash about the new hydroelectric dam that was just recently built. But we see that hopefully this young brother can get another term in office, because he's been very dynamic about keeping Ethiopia's policies on track. I know there's been some challenges as being a president, and of course, if you are president of any country, there is some challenges that go along with that. So, yeah, we give a big up to our brother for the upcoming election. Also, in Eswatini, which is a country in East Africa, Eswatini is developing its solar industry project. Solar energy and biomass project. So any of you brothers and sisters out there with a background, like I said, in engineering, electrical engineering, or perhaps creating biofuel or in the biofuel technology industry, Eswatini is a good place to kind of look at some of the business opportunities that are taking place there for the African diaspora. This is a $19.5 million project being fostered through the International Monetary Fund organization, and they will be creating up to 200 jobs as a part of this electrical transformation, breaking away from fossil fuels and getting more into the biomass, as well as solar panel, solar industry. So, yeah, big shout out to our brothers and sisters over there that's engaged in that priorly. Also, Mali has been going through some political strife, as you all know. Brothers and sisters who may be doing business here in the United States with Mali. Mali has been experiencing some very challenging issues right now with the ousted coup of one of the former presidents, one of the interim president that came into power after one of the a military coup took place, one of the generals that got killed in battle, I believe, in Burkina Faso and in the Mali area. But anyway, the political coup took place a few weeks ago, and so the African Union have made them kind of a sideliner as a part of their participation in the African Union agreement. But hopefully the brothers and sisters there in Mali can pull the situation together as a part of the jumpstart of the African Industrial Revolution. We certainly don't want the actual insurgency that has taken place there hindered their ability to take advantage of the jumpstart of the African Industrial Revolution. And with the Ethiopian president, to get back to him a little bit, you know, he's seeking a second term. Hopefully they can get their issues together as well as far as some of the ethnic scrimmages that they've been having there in the north in the Tigray region, and also their dispute with neighboring nations, Sudan, as well as Egypt. over the water rights and control of the water path of the Nile River. Hopefully they'll get it together. The Democratic Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, if you all been aware, they have been evacuating many places in the nation because of the recent volcano eruption. And a lot of the more than 1,000 people have been displaced, and some had to go over into neighboring countries to kind of seek refuge at the moment because of the volcano. A lot of the scientists are predicting there may be another eruption in line, which may hinder the everyday working business climate there in the Democratic Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo. But yeah, a big shout out, and we send out peace and blessings to our brothers and sisters who are currently being displaced because of that. And yeah, so that's about it, man, for this evening's Business Network. You know, we want to keep our brothers and sisters enlightened about what's happening in Nigeria with the Echo Atlantic Project. If you're interested in learning a little bit more information, reach out to the New Black Panther Organization, or you can perhaps reach out to the New African Network, or perhaps reach out to the African Afro Diaspora Development Institute with Dr. Erykanah Turumbirakwa. He's very informed and has a very good connection with many of the governments on the ground floor, how you can get engaged with many of the investment opportunities. So that's what's up. Also, we want to give a big shout out to one of our dearest brothers, Michael Omar Tunacheki, who is a big YouTuber, and the brother's been doing some very dynamic work on the ground floor in Africa, and have many branch locations that he's actually opened up opportunity for brothers and sisters who want to get into the news broadcast, electronic broadcasting network. And Tunacheki is a very good place to make good connections on the YouTube. Tunacheki, the number 2, the letter N-A-C-H-E-K-I, and the CEO is Mr. Michael Omar. And reach out to this brother. He has some very good connections he can get you tied into on the continent. So, so we've had a very good broadcast this evening. And I'll turn the mic over to you just in case anybody wants to chime in this evening. Peace and blessings.
Black power, Brother Eugene. Thank you again. And this is nonstop. It's nonstop with the advancements that we see on the continent. There's a few things that, you know, we need to address. You know, when looking at the economic stability in the diaspora and all of the advancements that we see on the continent, you know, these are things that are possible, you know, only because of our African genius, right? It makes no sense for us to, you know, doubt ourselves when all of the evidence shows us, and we appeal to the masses. Of course, we know that the strong heart of the revolutionary, as Brother Eugene talks about this new breed of revolutionary generation, I mean, you know, we appeal to the masses. There's no need and really no clear reason for us to ever doubt our potential. We have supreme clarity on our potential due to what has been built, which is the establishment of civilization in itself, the very foundation, the bones of civilization, right? Where we have now bodies of nations who mirror civilizations of yesterday, and those of yesterday came from us, which means that looking forward, right, the great civilizations that are seen growing today, who are they going to come from? Us. We have been the civilization builders. And in fact, our oppressor has been the civilization destroyer. We have been those people who have given and contributed to Earth to allow for Earth in its to be in its natural position. I will say that if you even look at the ancient technology, right, that it still cannot be applied to European modern technology. Why? Because the majority, if not the most, of European technology is based on going into the Earth, taking out of the Earth what is unnecessary, what is too much, right? Take everything, right? And then when you talk about getting rid of fossil fuels and things of this nature, these are things that were studied were clarified in our ancient textual teaching of engineering, right? But the white man who either purposely, intentionally, or all of the above, takes that knowledge and flips it on us, and not only destroys the earth and trying to mimic what we have done through civilization, but also destroys the people, right, through a sheer hatred for what we have been able to do in civilization. You know, these key aspects do help us to understand our position and our role in the present day society. And we believe that we cannot have self-determination if we do not understand that. So we appeal to the ideology that anything is possible for the African. We are the African, not the African. Anything is possible for us. Everything that we see around us is because of us. We did not have a part in building this nation. No, we didn't help or assist to build this nation. We built the whole nation. We were forced to build the nation from sun up to sundown. No vacation. No health benefits. No, in fact, our health was in danger every day, as it is today. We were slaughtered in the plantation fields of America, who used those what was the result of that forced plantation labor and that forced labor and that slave labor, who used that forced labor and that slave labor to divine this to design this nation that we see today. And it is because of that, and only that, that America is able to sit in the seat that it is able to sit in today. But the African said, what does the African say? The African say that time is up for us to continue to be exploited. The African says that time is up for us to continue to face the same oppression our ancestors faced. Time is up. Not only are we building defensively, in fact, we are armed. We believe this to be a natural way to defend ourselves. But let us be clear. Economic development is in the same line. Educational and infrastructure for education is in the same line. Understand that it is social. It is agriculture. It is when we talk about resources. Brother Eugene, you mentioned this skirmish, this political skirmish, and I would even go so far as to say this political Cold War that have gone on between Egypt and other nations in the region about the water has been going on for decades. Decades, right? Mm-hmm. And it saddens us and it angers us to see a people, right? And let's be clear on a historical perspective, the same as we see in Libya, the same as we see what we call now the United Kingdom and Ireland. People who look like us were pushed to the bottom so that the Kazakh Arab could rise to the top. We will not lie and we will not conceal history. History is clear and it's public information. We won't stand to continue to see African nations who are proud of their African heritage, who just want to have water, right? A resource that is mm-hmm. natural to us, being the original people of the earth, be strangled, right? Imagine that life, a life like that. Seriously, imagine a life where you can't do the basic things. Imagine how most of us going to live without a washing machine. I'm being real, right? Mm-hmm. Think about not being able to wash yourself during COVID-19 that has spread all over the world. And now that is a hygienic problem for the nation. We really got to think about this and not let this just be this is not CNN where you just get the little banner at the bottom, Eugene, and it tell you something real quick at the banner. And you say, oh, that was interesting. No, this is real. This is really a struggle of a people that it extends from the West Coast of America all the way to the East or the West Coast of Russia, believe it or not, because black folks mm-hmm. are everywhere in this world. And everywhere you find black people, it seems that when the African speaks, heads don't turn as quick as when the European speaks. So the African must understand that we cannot allow for the European or black people who agree with the European ideology, the way of capitalism and a so-called free enterprise to speak on our behalf. We must be represented by the people, the people who are facing these horrid conditions, but also the people who are removing us from these horrid conditions. This is why we have to understand these great African scientists who are developing these roads, developing these new technologies, developing these new economic structures, because these are our heroes. These are those who our children will talk about miles and miles down the road of time. We have to understand this. There's so much going on that it is difficult at times for us to understand or see what is right in front of us. We don't ask that no one have tunnel vision, but we say it's straight ahead. While we are here in America, we must eat, we must sleep, we must live in conditions that are suited for human beings and fit the shelter of human beings. While we are here, we don't have to pay taxes. We our demand is that we be exempt from taxes. Here in the New Black Panther Party, that we be exempt from military service, that we be exempt from any of the social economic structures that are disguised. Because in fact, when you pull off the pull back the curtain, what you see is these socioeconomic structures are actually devices of economic exploitation that are targeted at our people. They are remnants of economic exploitation that have existed on this planet since the 6,000 years and no more that this cracker had been here. Our duty then is to reverse this. How do we do this? We must look and analyze the work that's already being done. That's why we have this broadcast, right? So that Brother Eugene brings in his Pan-African report. We're going to lay it down on the political education. We need to take that and use it as a tool. This is not entertainment. I mean, we are interrupting your daily bullshit. We're not adding on to it. This is a complete mind shift for the masses of black people. It doesn't make us feel good to say that we know that we watch a bunch of nonsense and ignorance. We have people who we admire, but at the same time, they expose, you know, the very sensitive private areas of our struggle for entertainment purposes. You see what I'm saying? We have to control the narrative from every aspect. You see, we cannot allow for information to become just fly by night words out of a mouth, and understand that the vessels that give this information doing it on a divine principle, knowing because just simply that it must be done. As our ancestor Kwame Ture says, because it must be done. It just must be done, right? There really, our emotion comes from the love of the people. But is it really emotional when we act? No. It's an action that must be taken. So slowly, and we hope quickly, right? But we know that everybody moves at a different pace. Everybody is moving on different frequencies in the same, right, in the same, you know, society. But we also understand that it has to be an urgency to how we work, right? We have to have, like Malcolm says, a do it right now, a do it yourself philosophy. That is what powers. That's why Brother Eugene is saying that we're seeing people go to Ghana and waking up in time, record time, because they're moving with a sense of urgency. We're seeing a rise of the African Industrial Revolution. Why? Because of a sense of urgency. We appeal to all black people here in the States, specifically right now, here in the States. Move with a sense of urgency. Let us start to move with a sense of urgency, right? Not just for, you know, the white man's holidays, not just because we want to appease our children on a day of a Christmas or any other day, but we need to quit that bull because it is another type of sickness, right? And then it's hard for a child to believe the Easter Bunny and believe in some fat, white, nasty pedophile coming down your chimney and bringing you gifts. It is then hard for them to understand simple, basic ideology. There's a lot of things that we have to stop, right? So again, on every front, nobody is free from this. You can turn and hide. I remember Dr. Amos Wilson talks about how he says, I don't know if some of us just stand there in the mirror and close our eyes and say, I'm not black, I'm not black, I'm not black. Nigga, that don't make you disappear. You still black. You can't change or take your skin off. I mean, another thing, we still have people that bleach themselves. Sure, this is not something that we're going to spend 50 minutes about, but again, it is just as serious. It's no less serious because all these things, it shows our condition. When we are able to recognize our condition and move with a sense of urgency, the things that we think now are impossible. When we talk to people, they say, well, what is the, you know, how long do you think a revolution will take? When do you think, are we ever going to get free? What's the point? No, don't think like that, beloved brothers and sisters. Don't think like that. You're too beautiful. You see, your legacy is too strong. You are a power. It's power in your being. We are the original people of the Almighty Wise, God Creator, by whichever name you call. We are the original people. We have the ability to change the very phenomena that surrounds us. A victory is assured for us. And history has proven that today, not specifically, but today, in the context of living time, is our time. It is not the time of the Europeans. We do not belong to the Europeans. We do not belong to the Chinese. We don't belong to these people, and we don't owe them. They owe us. And we have to make that demand. We have to stand strong on that. This is no time now to have any negativity, any naysayer. Push them out. Push them out, right, Eugene? Dust your shoulders off. Push them out. The pessimists, the people who tell you why. Why are you going to do this? Well, look at it. You know, the white man got too many guns, and the white man, the white man. No. Mm-hmm. We're working with people who are the warrior class, people who understand what they have to that can work for the people, and they just need a platform to operate. That is what we're offering to the people every night on this broadcast through the work and the actions and operations of the new Black Panther Party, through the work that is given through the information and the propaganda and the underground work that is sponsored and shown to us from the New Africa Network. All of these things go hand in hand. Now, there is an organization that and it hit me when you talked about the DRC, but there is an organization who, you know, we want to kind of get updates on. And if you kind of want to review to just keep everybody up to date on the Meseret Humanitarian Organization, you know, because I think that's key. It's showing us again how important our women and children are. When last broadcast, we went over the tenets of that. You know, I will respect my mother. Mm-hmm. You know, you say, oh, this is natural. That we don't need nobody to tell us that. Yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. Because we constantly disrespect the black woman. We constantly disrespect a young black woman. We constantly disrespect ourselves. And then to turn around and expect for someone else to take and have respect, and we won't take accountability and have respect. It's a balance. It's a balance. So I love that tagline, an organization for women and children. You know, and that's and again, black men, we all fit in this context together, but we do need special attention to each and every demographic of the population in the diaspora. So if you could speak to, you know, some things that we can look forward to with the Meseret Humanitarian Organization or any other of these great humanitarian organizations that we can look forward to participating in or anything like that, Brother Eugene.
For sure. Black Power, Brother Sadiq. Yeah, you know, we've been working with the Meseret Humanitarian Organization out of Ethiopia for the past several months, and we've been gathering donations throughout all out the East Coast here, ranging from just basic hygienic stuff like soap and deodorant that you want to ship over. We're looking to also collect donations on shoes for kids, also for toddlers, from toddlers all the way up to age 15 or more, first aid kits. We need bottled water. We need vegetable canned goods. We need things like small mattresses, twin mattresses that we can ship over. We have a 20-foot container that we have partnered up with CMAG Freightline Group, which is a big steamship company based out of Norfolk, Virginia, agreed to partner up with us to ship over a 20-foot container to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And right now we have an approximate timeline of the end of July to have the container set and ready to go. It'll take about 30 to 32 days to reach Addis Ababa from the Charlotte, North Carolina intermodal terminal. We will actually be having a sponsors ship-off celebration for the container going over from here in Charlotte, North Carolina, to go to Addis Ababa to the Meseret Humanitarian Organization. And so we ask our brothers and sisters who are in business, have an organization, or perhaps advertising yourself or what you do art-wise to participate as a co-sponsor or not just donating humanitarian goods to actually, you can get in touch with me to get information about advertising your business on the side of the shipping container. that we'll be sending over, and which is a very good opportunity to kind of advertise you, yourself, or your company, or your organization, and to let the world know who you are as a person. So, yeah, you know, there's some big things that are happening around the Meseret Humanitarian Organization. These orphanage boys and girls who don't have a home or a place to live, many of the things that our children here in the United States, you know, they're spoiled and take advantage of. Many of these young boys and girls, they don't have a lot of the things that we have here. And so as an olive branch for extending our connection to the mother continent, we partnered up with the Meseret organization to actually do something good with our time and our money and our resources. And so if you want a little bit more information about that Meseret program, you can reach out directly to me, Brother Eugene, at telephone number 704-426-9947. That's telephone number 704-426-9947. And you can also reach me at the actual email address as well, and that would be Africans United Business. That's Africans with an S, United Business at gmail.com. Any one of our brothers and sisters that are connected in with relaying the information as a part of your participation in the project, even if you just want to be a sponsor, if you want to donate funds to go towards the actual cause itself, it's always great to do good things in the African community. So that about wraps it up for our dialogue this evening, Brother Cassius. You know, anybody on the mic out there want to weigh in and on some of the conversation or have any questions?
All right, family. So we're moving into the end of this broadcast. I want to present at the end of this broadcast a powerful presentation. Our great ancestor, Dr. Amos Wilson, talks about poverty and economics. I think that'll be a great way to take us out as we talk about the economic stability in the diaspora. We want to take out the time to thank our special guest co-host every Thursday night. Don't forget it right here on New Black Panther Party Radio. You can check out Brother Eugene on this broadcast every Thursday night. You know, coming from the great backing of the New African Network, we appreciate the brother who gets on here and brings this very powerful Pan-African report. We want to hear from the people. Press the number one. We still have time left in this broadcast, and the brother now is accepting questions, comments, and everything of that nature. Let us not forget, you know what I'm saying, you know, what is, you know, the best way for us to, you know, move on with this liberation? It's through unity. But we won't have fake unity, right? Only those who ain't going to be no hiding hands, ain't going to be no backdoor deals. We need to come to the table straight up, right? Come to the table straight up, and we'll have our own nation, right? We want to send a shout-out to the New Black Panther Party National Central Committee, all of the regional representatives, local members, officers, everybody there who continues to do the work that is necessary for us to have our own nation, because we work forward to having this economic stability in the diaspora. We also want to remind everybody, join the New Black Panther Party. Get on the front line, goddammit. What is everybody waiting for? You know, we just try to inspire you to take self-defense seriously, take economic stability seriously, take self-determination seriously. Y'all know we talk this way because this is how we talk, right? We appeal to the people. We love black people, you know, but we take this very seriously because our lives are on the line, right? A very thin line at that. So we want to make sure that we get right down to the heart of it. And as our great ancestor Malcolm X says, right down to the root of the problem, right here on New Black Panther Party Radio. Every night, join the New Black Panther Party, mbpp.org. Call in here every night, 718-664-6398. Brother Eugene, as I said, I want to take this thing out with the powerful bill of Dr. Amos Wilson as he addresses poverty and economics. You good with that, brother?
Yeah, that's what's up, brother. Word up. It's been a dynamic evening, and peace and blessings go out to all our brothers and sisters who tune in each and every week for the Thursday night New Black Panther, New African Network business broadcast. One love, and we'll be talking with you soon. We'll see you next week.
Black power, brother.
You see in the African American the adoption of foreign methods. Methods not related to his African background nor to his political economic realities. And the major problem today in the economic development of black people is the lack of an economic system based on what I call a sound cultural analysis. And I don't mean a cultural analysis that goes on talking about how white folks mistreated us. That is not a cultural analysis, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot of people here just going, doing endless research on how white people mistreated black people and getting all fired up over these kind of issues instead of looking deep into the heart and soul and mentality of black people and looking deep into the character of black people and looking deeply at the organization of money and economy within the black community and using that analysis to create a realistic system. We got a lot of fools here reading Marx and other kinds of people whose analysis is based upon Europeans and who didn't come in with preconceived ideas to impose upon the African situation. And one thing I pointed out again and again and again, you can look at any African society, and whether it is Marxist, socialist, capitalist, or any other kind of ist, it is poor compared to its European people. And that must recognize then that the problem we confront is deeper than subscribing to European doctrines of Adam Smith and Marx. That subscribing to these European doctrines are not the solutions to our problems. Marxist theory is based upon an analysis of European culture, and his economic recommendations are based upon that analysis. And we have some fools here who want to call it scientific, and as if it's somehow universal and above and untouchable. And yet when they look at it in country after country in Africa and other places that have subscribed to it without being realistic about their economic and social position in the world, they can see that it has not benefited very much those nations and those people. And yet they react by holding on even more tenaciously to a philosophy that even the Russians are throwing out, that even the Chinese are throwing aside. And everybody's throwing aside that this Negro, the poorest of all, who is still trying to hold on to it for dear life and is not surviving. Does that mean Marx's ideas are no good? No, doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that at all. Does that mean we can't use them? No, I'm not saying that either. What I am saying, though, is develop your economic and social philosophy based upon your own political and social reality first. Now, you may find, as I have found when I look directly at the heart and soul of our people, that many of your conclusions may coincidentally parallel those of Marx. But the origin is not Marx. The origin is from our own selves. And that means that those ideas are our possession. And we don't have to ask white Marxists or any other group to interpret them for us. Any other group doesn't come into us and say, well, you know, our people started and Marx was a Jew or whatever, and, you know, we have the right to interpret what he meant by this and that. We don't have to deal with that. We can deal with it because we've developed it out of our own hearts and our own soul and our own reality. When I was trying to go into business, it puzzled me for a long time. Where is the black money? Where is it? You know? Black people, we hear again and again, if you look at the collective earnings and resources of black people in America, you have to recognize that they are the ninth or tenth richest nation on this earth. That we trade more with this country than does the whole nation of Canada. That we represent a tremendous amount of wealth. And that the problem then with the black community is not a problem of poverty, but it is the correct utilization of the wealth that we have and the correct development of the wealth that we have as people. It is the malallocation of the money that we have, not the lack of money at all. I was interested in one example he gave here of the Japanese tailor who was selling suits for $35, and he's selling to other poor Japanese who could not pay $35 at one time for a suit. So how do they solve the problem? The tailor's got to stay in business. The other people need a suit. Do they go down to SBA and apply for a loan? They could afford $5 a week, though. So they pull seven people together, then the seven put in their $5, and the first man gets his $35 suit. The tailor gets paid. The other man takes the suit home. And the next week, the next $35 come in, and on and on it go. And the money revolves, and the wealth revolves, and there's growth and development within the community, you see. Not looking outside of themselves, but looking where? Within themselves, because ultimately that is the source of wealth. Not being externalized, but internalized, and looking into themselves as the basis of wealth. And using the revolving credit, these people did not go on welfare because they saw the welfare of their people as being their responsibility. And they organized in groups and clans and so forth and saw to the welfare of their members, so that it was not necessary for them to go on welfare. And they took care of their members. And it served some other social and political purposes as well. It's very interesting to note those purposes. Contrast that with the Urban League and the social work approach that we find so prevalent in our community. That does not harness the resources of the so-called poor and use those resources and recirculate those resources and organize the poor in a way that their money can increase and be used for their advantage, but, you know, takes a social work approach of delivering services from some external agency on to the people. A part of the receipt of benefits within the Japanese society was that you had to be a member of that society. And you were connected in that society. You were unified with the group. And it's within the context of this unity and membership that protection for the members take place. I realized as I tried to develop this business over here, that the problem was not money in getting this business, you know, because I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, you must be paying healthy rent over there. But my idea was if the Asians could pay their rent in Harlem and make a living using only whose money? Black folks' money. They're not even using Asian money up there. The Koreans are not even coming up there to do their shopping and the others. They shopping somewhere in Koreatown, maybe somewhere else. Okay? The Hispanics, you know, it's our money supporting their families, paying that rent. And believe me, rent on 125th Street can go as high as $5,000 or more a month. Favorite Shoes pays $10,000 a month right on that corner. But they have employees there, ladies and gentlemen. They're making money there. That implies what? That there is money over there. And if you can support this kind of rent with our kind of money, then we can support our own people with this kind of money. We can employ our own children with this kind of money. We can train and apprentice our own youth. We can get them out of the idea of having to steal and do the other kind of things that they do in these other places. We can build respect for self. I might have mentioned the fact I ran into one lady one evening. She mentioned that she lived out there somewhere. And I saw some sick Negro piece in New York Magazine. This a very ill piece, if you read this one here. Blacks at the top. Read this confusion. very, 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 very ill. Pitiful. Because it shows they've reached the top and they still have problems. Identity problems and all kinds of other problems that Frazier talked about even years ago in the Black Bourgeoisie. And somebody said, I'm scared to go to Harlem. You know, it's got a bit. Scared. It is a pity when you become more frightened among your own people than you do among another group of people. That is a real indictment, and many of us have that kind of fear. And we talk about the Howard Beaches, but still, on the whole, many of us still feel a little safer walking those communities or some other communities than we do of our own. That is a major indictment of us as people. And who are we fighting of our youth? Of our youth. That they're going to snatch our pocketbooks, or they're going to stab us, or they're going to do something to us. And that's a real fear, and it's a fear that has to be dealt with. And I'm not saying this is an illusion. It's real. And I'm not covering it over. It's a fear. It's a real concern. But what is the solution? To run out to Westchester? To run out here? Is that the end point of it? Not at all. In fact, that is a part of the basis for that fear having been created. And I told her, I said, you know, you, and she said, oh, they don't have, give me any respect. I said, but it's interesting that you want respect from these youngsters when you're hardly contributing anything to their economic and social development at all. Why should they respect you? When you take your monies and your brain power and your other interests out and give it to another people, in a way, their anger and hostility has a certain logic to it. Because we have betrayed them. We have not given them an economic and social system and political system and network. We have not given them their inheritance and their due. We've robbed them of their inheritance. And consequently, they strike back at us with the only weapons that they're left with. With dishonor and with disrespect. And when we speak, they don't listen. Why should they? You don't pay my bill. Right? In a way, they're right. What do we have to say about it? We are not feeding them. We are not caring for them. It's Big Daddy White Man. He's the ultimate papa in the world. So I can only, the only person I need to listen to is that one. And therefore, if we're to get back our self-respect and the respect of our children, then we have to establish control over our economic and social situation. The ownership of 125th Street, the ownership of all of these other streets around here, the ownership of downtown Manhattan is greater than any series of 10,000 lectures about the greatness of African people, I'm telling you. It's a contradiction to talk to your children about the greatness of African people. And then when they walk out, you know, the whole community and everything is owned by somebody else. It's a joke. And in the end, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to be bothered with it. Because it doesn't develop into anything concrete, usable, a type of pride that doesn't take them anywhere, and they see often only leads them to trouble and a kind of radicalism that doesn't permit them to become, quote-unquote, a part of the so-called mainstream. African nationalism must pay. We must demonstrate to people that believing in this ideology is not taking the side of poverty and degradation, but is a movement into wealth. And a movement into power, and a movement into greatness. And this is a part of the thing I'm about there. I'm trying to demonstrate, hey, I believe in Africa. I love Africa. I am African. And I believe in the greatness of my people. And it what? It pays. It pays. There's wealth connected with this belief. There's power connected with this belief. There's strength and respect connected with this belief. not just an empty knowledge of history and an empty boasting that tries to substitute for a hungry stomach, but something that's real, that translates into real power. And this is what we must demonstrate. And when our children can walk out and see that, the Africanness is absorbed into their very bone marrow.
Here we are. Here we are. Here's for the people.
Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But save the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media pillages on TV, the picture is savages and villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on stand, all of a sudden you are there in Indiana Jones. And I keep all the gold and keep all the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzis I've ever seen and I've ever known. Put the words on this place so the world can see and it's all I will ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them two can defeat and them could have never clone. A spiritual DNA that prints in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Shabali. That's patience. That's what the old folks told me. Can you give a that? Discovering a world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhyme. It's no realer.
We born not knowing, are we born knowing all? We growing wiser, are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flatted, you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape change again, everybody would have stopped love. The average man can't prove up most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the roots of the truth that they seek of. Galas teach in universities and claim like they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you read signs? Can you read stars? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows? Even though you drive cars, can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that's just ignorant. You're scared of the truth. For now, who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it, try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining.
trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres, so I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sick of needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul.